Okay.
It is good to be in church. Come on, somebody. It is so good to be in church. Let me just put this there for a second. I'm going to grab a couple things. Man, a couple of you know I wasn't feeling too well the past few days. But the Lord is so good, and He always heals. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that joy is rooted in salvation. It's the joy of salvation. That's my strength, right? So that's good news. So I feel very strong today because the Lord and His salvation has given me strength. And can I just say, you guys knew today was going to be a wedding because you guys, look at you, came dressed the part. You guys look amazing. So, you know, I'm in my early 20s and all my friends are getting married. A couple of my friends just got married last weekend. And so congrats to them. And I thoroughly enjoy watching my friends get married. I really do. It's not sarcastic. I really do. I love watching them get married because I love them. And if you love somebody, you love things that are good for them, right? So it's good for them to get married to people that love God. And it's good for them to have a relationship that glorifies the Lord. So I'm so happy that they're getting married. And I'm so happy that I get to watch other people get married. Like some other people in our church, you might not know. Some people in our church are going to get married soon. More than one couple. Actually, there's a few people in this room that are going to get married soon. Did you guys know that? There's quite a few people in this room that are going to get married very, very soon. Very soon. And it's a kind of a special kind of wedding. It's not like your normal wedding where you plan, okay, I have some stats for you. Now listen, it's not like this. It's not the kind of wedding that takes, on average, 6 to 12 months to plan. It's been taking a lot longer than that to plan. Now, CNN said that in June of this year, they said that on average in the U.S., weddings cost just under $30,000. Okay. So that's great. Apparently, you can only get married if you're quite wealthy. So that's nice. But this wedding that I'm talking about, these couples that are getting married, their wedding's a lot more expensive than that. A lot more expensive than $30,000. Now, anybody know Serena Williams, the tennis star? So she made history with her wedding. Her wedding dress was the most expensive wedding dress sold. Now, there are more expensive wedding dresses that exist. They just haven't been sold. But hers was sold for $3.5 million. And if you look it up, if you take a look at what it looks like, she looks stunning. Is it $3.5 million of a dress? Well, everybody, it's in the eye of the beholder, right? Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. It's a great dress, though. $3.5 million, really? Okay, but anyways, there is a wedding going on soon. And like I said, it's not traditional. It's kind of a surprise wedding. And it's also a little bit of like a joint wedding situation. You know, I think a few of you know what I'm getting at. Okay, do you want me to tell you who's getting married? I am one of the people getting married, Lord willing. When you become a believer, when you receive salvation, you become a new creation. What that new creation is the bride of Christ. And when the day of judgment comes, when we hear that trumpet sound, when our Father comes back for us, when the bridegroom arrives, that's our wedding day. That's our wedding day. And I just want to read a scripture right now. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. I'm reading from the NLT, the New Latina version, because obviously I'm Latina. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Come on, anybody was a heathen before they met the Lord? I was. But you were pastors, you couldn't have been that bad. Trust me. They're kind of the worst. But everything in the Bible is true. The youth know that. The youth know this because I say it all the time. Everything in the Bible is true. And so when the Bible says, not me saying, the Bible, the Word of God, the living Word of God, made flesh through the body of Jesus Christ, says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, not anyone who believes, not anyone who says, Lord, 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 Lord. No, anyone who belongs, anyone who knows, anyone who has an intimate relationship with. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. So all of that old nature, all of that old person, all of that old identity is not you anymore. It's not you anymore. It's not just that you've changed, you're the same person, but you've changed your hair, you've changed your weight, you've changed this. No, it's not you anymore. It's a different person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. All of this is made possible by the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Just like how when you're married, just like how Pastor Ben's wife right here, my mother, is an ambassador for him. Where she goes, she represents him. Where I go as a daughter of him, I represent him. So where you go as the bride of Christ, you're representing the groom. You carry the same message, which means we better be aligning our message to be the same as that of our groom. It says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. I have to share this illustration because I love it so much. I've shared it multiple times with the young people, because it feels like it makes sense. So if you were to, now you guys know, me and my dad both are avid coffee drinkers. So the first thing to come into my mind is a coffee bean. So if I had in my hand a coffee bean, and I covered it with a tin cup, and you go to look at the coffee bean, what do you see? You see the tin cup. You don't see the coffee bean. It's the exact same way with salvation. You're that coffee bean. When God goes to look at you and you've received the free gift of salvation and you've submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ, he covers you like that tin cup. When God goes to look at you, he no longer sees you. He sees his son who never messed up. So now you don't have to be perfect, because Jesus was perfect. Now, sometimes, especially when we're newlyweds, you still get a little nervous. You get kind of nervous. I don't deserve this bouquet. I don't deserve this bouquet. As the bride of Christ, I don't deserve this bouquet. I didn't do enough. I wasn't good enough. I should have tried harder. I should have served more. I failed, God. But lucky for you, it was by faith that you're saved, and it's by faith you're sustained. Lucky for you, it wasn't your actions that got you saved. It was the sacrifice that Jesus gave. So he says, it doesn't matter what you feel like you deserve. I think you deserve this. Because it's my son. My son's the one who deserves this. And he's going to stand in your place. And I love him. And I'm proud of my son. And so I love you. And I'm proud of you. So as a bride, we don't have to be scared that we don't deserve the bouquet. Because God says that we do through Christ. And the bride might also think, well, I can't put on that white dress. I can't put on that white dress. Because if I put that dress on, I'm going to get my dirt all over it. I'm going to get that dress all filthy. And it's going to be ugly. And then nobody's going to want to look at me. And it's just not going to be right. I can't wear that dress. I'm not pure. I did stuff. I did stuff and I can't wear that dress. It's not that you, when you put this dress on, you don't get the dress dirty. The dress gets you pure. And we feel like, well, gosh, I can't put these shoes on either. You don't know what I've walked through. I can't put these shoes on. I've walked through a lot more than people know. If he knew what I walked through, he wouldn't want to marry me. If he knew the things of my past, if he knew my old self, there's no way he'd walk me down the aisle. There's no way he'd want to marry me. The reason that Jesus was sent to earth and took on our humanity, took on our weak, less than God self, was so that when you are alone and you're crying out saying, nobody understands what I went through, then he says, I actually know exactly what you're going through. I've been there too. He left heaven so that when you say, I can't wear those shoes, you don't know what I've been through, he can say with confidence and without exaggeration, I know exactly what you've been through. I've been through it too. So my encouragement to you guys in saying this is know your identity as the bride. And it's not just you as the bride. Every believer unified, that's the bride. So we can't be a bride that shoots itself in the foot. We can't be a bride that is cutting right before the wedding. We can't be a bride that is messing up its own hair for some reason. We can't be a bride that is intentionally messing up their makeup, messing up their dress. We have to be a bride that is loving and shares the heart and the character of God. Thank you, God. This love story between God and mankind is the most beautiful and heart-wrenching series of events. In Isaiah 54, it says, "Fear not, you will no longer live in shame. That shame of your old life is gone. Don't be afraid. There is no more disgrace upon you." He doesn't remember the old you. It's not a thing to him anymore. All he sees is the new creation of you. You will no longer remember your shame of your youth and sorrows of widowhood, for your Creator will be your husband. In Hebrews 10:14, it says, "For that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy." Those who are being made holy. I'm not perfect yet. That's okay. Stop. You don't have the power. You will never be able to be perfect in your own strength. It's because it's by the power of Jesus, it's by the power of his blood that you're made holy. God is so jealous for his bride, you. He's so in love with you. Last night he spoke to me about you because he loves you so much. He won't shut up about you to me. I'm telling you, he loves you. Every single time I try to say something to the youth or I try to speak something to y'all or whatever, it always comes back to just tell them that I love them. I just love them. I just love them. And you have to understand, I don't care how long you think you know God. I don't care how long you've been saved. You don't understand the entirety of the love of the Lord. You don't understand it. So if you don't feel like you can catch hold again of this identity of the bride, if you feel like, well, I already know who I am. Trust me, there's more. There's more. Spend your whole life learning God is love. Spend your whole life figuring that out. Do it. You'll never find it all. You'll never be done. His love is so great for you. Man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Could we take a moment as a corporate bride to just thank the Lord that we don't have to clean this dress? We don't have to have beautiful feet when we put these shoes on, that he's going to make them beautiful, that we don't have to do 17 circus acts in order to win that bouquet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it's so important as the days go by that we catch who we are in God. Because the days are few. The time is quickening. We don't have time to mess around. When I was a kid, we had a few TV shows that we loved to watch. I think most kids have their favorite few, you know, Phineas and Ferb. Obviously. No, we loved this show, Psych, which is very religious, about a psychic detective. It's a comedy. We loved that show as kids. And we knew that when mom and dad would leave, dad would be off at work, mom would be grocery shopping or something, we knew that they didn't want us to sit on the couch all day and just watch Psych. We knew that. Sometimes they would say that. Most of the time, it was an unspoken desire. But we still would sit on the couch and be watching Psych for 3 hours. Sorry if this is the first time you're hearing this. I thought it was obvious. But so we would still be sitting on the couch watching Psych for too long. And we knew, we came up, we had some tricks up our sleeves. So we knew as soon as we heard the garage door open, quick, turn the TV off, put it back to the home screen, run, do the thing, make sure you look like you're in the middle of doing dishes, look like you're doing a coloring book, something that's semi-productive, do something that's not this. Because at the last second, you could save it, and they wouldn't think anything of it. And so she's like, are you kidding me right now? No, she totally knew. So now it was very funny when the neighbor's garage door would open to see the four of us scatter and then in silence realize that wasn't our parents and then just slowly collect back on the couch. Small giggles, you know, nobody wanting to acknowledge how embarrassing that was and how ashamed we were. Guilty consciences everywhere. But my point is, we knew who to expect and how to behave when that garage door opened. We knew what that meant. I'm not going to list off all the signs of the times. I'm not going to go through the book of Revelation. We're not going to go through crazy things of this is happening, but y'all see it. I'm going to believe y'all see it. It's getting crazy out there. It's getting insane. The devil is not hiding. He's not pretending to be nice. He's being very openly evil. And his followers are being openly evil. And everyone is saying, yes, this is good. Evil is good. We love evil. And then we're like, let's do good. And they're like, you are mean. You need to go. It's the garage door. That is the garage door opening. Dad's coming home. We don't want to be like how I was as a kid. You don't want to be me as a kid. Running at the last second to put your shoes on, get your dress on, get the veil on, get the flowers. That we don't want that to be us. We don't want that to be us. We don't want it to be us that as soon as we hear the garage door open, we're quick running and trying to look like we're doing the work of God. We're trying to look like we're a good Christian. That's not the way you want to live. So if you are living that way, betting that you have tomorrow, let me tell you right now, tomorrow's not promised. It's not promised. Are you trying to scare us? Yes, I am. Tomorrow's not promised. You might not get another opportunity to actually say, you know what? Career, get off the throne of my heart. God, please. Take your rightful place. It might be too late. You don't know. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. All we hear is that garage door opening, and it's opening right now. So now's the time to kick it in high gear and start living the way that we say we're going to live. Right now is the time for us to be taking the Bible seriously. Amen. Above all other voices, all other opinions. The Bible is not just an opinion. It's the voice of God. You want to hear the voice of God? Clear? Read your Bible. You want to know what God says about things? Read your Bible. It says in Luke 12:35-48, it says, be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you are waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. The servants who pretend to be ready? The servants who really quick are getting ready and they're putting their shoes on as he's walking in? No. The servants who are ready. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. Of course, if you knew when God was coming, if you knew when he was coming, you would quick say a prayer, repent, do your thing. But you don't know, and he did it on purpose because he doesn't want forced love. He doesn't want love that waits till the last second to say, I actually think I love you. No. He wants real love. He wants love that is as close as it can be to the love that he showed you. You must also be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. That right there, I don't think we take seriously enough. The Son of Man will come when it is least expected. So don't ever think you know. Because the Bible just said, you're wrong. I'm coming when you least expect me. So not the moment when everyone is saying, this is when he's coming soon, he's coming this month, he's going to be here. No, you don't know. So be ready all the time. When he comes back, what do you want to be caught doing? If you're at work, it shouldn't look too much different than if you were caught at church. You hear me? Ooh. If Jesus came back when you were here right now and your heart is focused on him, that's great. You're good. You're good if he comes back when you're at church. What if he comes back in the middle of the night and you're all alone in your room? What's he going to find? I sure hope it's the same heart that's sitting here right now. What if he comes back when you're in the middle of a business meeting? I sure hope he still finds that heart that's focused on him first. Because your life doesn't fall apart and end in death because Jesus went to 10th place. It falls apart because he went to second. That is so important. You're not unprepared because God is in last place. You're unprepared because he's in second. The only way to be prepared is if he's in first. And anything that keeps him from being in that number one spot, get it out. Anything. 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 Don't put a limit on that. Don't put a cap on that. I want to get rid of anything that separates me from God. Anything that takes my attention off of God, get rid of it. For the Son of Man will come when least expected. Peter asked, Lord, is that illustration just for us or for everyone? And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant thinks, my master won't be back for a while? And he begins beating the other servants, partying, getting drunk. The master will return unannounced, unexpected, and he will cut the servant into pieces and banish him. Wow. So, when he comes back, we don't want to be beating each other, right? Right? We want to be loving each other. We want to be helping each other. We want to be catching the heartbeat of God. We want to understand and learn to hate what he hates and to love what he loves. And let me tell you what he loves and what he hates. He hates things that hurt his bride, and he loves things that help her. Unity in the body is one of the most necessary things right now. Because times are changing. We've been talking about it. Something's happening. The Lord is coming soon. So we have to be unified as a body. Because a house divided against itself can't stand. This house won't stand if these people in it, if we as the family of God, as the bride in this house, are pitted against each other. It says in the Bible that if your loyalties are divided, you're unstable in all you do. Not just some things, all you do. Every business move you want to make, every relationship you want to make, every decision you make, if your loyalties are divided between the world and God, if you say, well, I'm being a good little bride, I'm doing this, I'm being good, but I also hate sister person, and you just, no, your loyalties are divided, you are unstable in everything. We can't have that because he's coming back for a whole bride. He's coming back for a pure bride, a lovely bride, a unified bride. So the Lord has been, I just thank him for this because he recently has been just letting me catch his heart for how much he loves you, how much he loves this body. The people in this room, I can't express to you the longing that I feel when I'm not with the body of Christ. Because I've said, God, give me your heart, give me your emotions. Why? Because we're human. We need an emotional impact in order to take something seriously. So I said, God, give me your emotion towards this body so that I can love them like you love them. So that I don't nitpick. So that I'm not causing issues. So that I can be a help to the bride, not a hurt. And the Lord, when you ask God for something wholeheartedly, he will give it to you. He will give it to you. If you say, God, I want to catch your heart for the body of Christ, he will give it to you. What? Well, I've asked him. He hasn't given it to me. Okay, what was your motive? What did you really want? He knows your heart. Honestly, you don't. You don't really know your heart. You can try. He knows it better than you. But he wants to share his heart with you. He wants to give you that emotion because he wants you to catch what he loves so you can love his bride like he loves his bride. Everything that he does is for the good of his bride. Everything he does is for your good. He's obsessed with you. He's nuts about you. Oh. Let's keep reading in Luke. And the servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions, will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. In Matthew 24, 42 through 44, it says, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when the burglar was coming, and it's saying the same thing that we just read, then he would keep watch and he would not let his house get broken into. But it says this. You also must be ready all the time. You've got to be ready all the time. That means always blessing your enemies. Always blessing your enemies. Always loving the unlovely. Always being kind, always showing the fruits of the Spirit, always crying out to God. This doesn't mean that I have to be perfect all the time. I can't stress that enough because I don't want you to feel like this is not a realistic goal, not a realistic desire. No, it's very realistic because it's not a series of, I'm going to do this. It's not like that. It's a heart posture. Your desire is for the heart of God. Your desire is for the will of God to be done. So we've got to be ready. So we've got to take off the things that are not of God and put on the things that are of God. So take off that everyday clothes. This isn't every day. You're not in every day. Take off the everyday clothes. Reorganize your priorities. Reorganize your priorities. Catch that your job is not as important as you think it is. It is far more important that you understand the heart of the Father and that you learn to love the bride like He does and you learn to walk as the bride. Your kids should never take priority over God. Your spouse should never take priority over God. God is of the utmost importance. And in these final days, this is the time to be actively feeling those things, actively putting those things on, actively making choices that I'm going to put God before anything else. Brush your hair. Get ready for the wedding. Brush your hair. Brush your hair of apathy. Get rid of the apathy. I'm not saying y'all are apathetic. No one in this room is. I'm not saying that y'all aren't nice. No, everyone in this room is super nice. I'm serious. Start getting out those tangles of bitterness. Start letting things go. Ain't nobody got time for that. You have to know you don't have time to be bitter. You don't have time to hold a grudge. You don't have time to care. The tone she used with me, though, you didn't hear it. You don't have time for that. You have bigger fish to fry. You're not a little kid. You're an adult. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You don't got time for those silly little things. Let your thoughts be good towards each other. Wash your hands of dirty thinking. How do you do that? Wash your mind with the word. Wash your mind with the word of God. Start speaking in tongues when that comes up. Start speaking the word. Speaking the truth. Speaking life. Take those thoughts captive. You got to put on some high-end perfume. Put on some high-end perfume called purity and innocence. You don't need to be curious about the evil going on in the world. That saying that curiosity killed the cat, I'm a very curious person. I think I get it from my father. I think a lot of us are. As humans, we're just curious. It's part of the reason we're so good at science. We're so curious. But right now, can I just say this? Put your blinders on. There's no need to be curious of the things of this world. It's not worth it. You don't need to go discovering what new satanic thing they're putting on the internet, what new satanic Netflix show they're putting out, what new kind of crazy idol they're putting up in the middle of a city. We don't need to know that. You don't need to concern yourself with that. Trust me, it makes no difference to you. It makes no difference to you. You're still going to love God. You're still going to keep moving. You're still going to keep doing your thing. So don't look at it. Don't get curious. I know it's hard. Don't get curious. Put on that perfume of innocence and purity. Put on that wedding dress, that full armor of God. Come on. Put on that veil of the fruits of the Spirit. How do we get the fruits of the Spirit? The Spirit of God has to be inside of you. Like a seed growing as you water it with being in the presence of God, with listening, reading, obeying the word of God. It's at the hearing of the word that I find myself overcome with joy. It's at the remembering of my salvation that I'm overcome with joy. It's at the speaking of the word of God that I find I'm at peace in the midst of a storm. It's in the moving by faith, not by the things situationally, not by the things in the natural that I see, but it's by moving in faith that I'm healed, that I find deliverance. Get ready for the Lamb's return. Get ready for the Lamb's return. It's through the power of the blood of Jesus and your application of it and your submission that you're made perfect so that when the groom pulls up, you're spotless in his sight. That's so good. Jesus makes you spotless. And his redemption, forgiveness, mercy, grace, and love moves you to live righteously. It moves you to live righteously. Christianity and the pursuit of God is not a behavioral change. It is not, let me fix the way that I live so that hopefully I can be a good bride. Hopefully I can be ready when he comes back because I'm doing everything right. It happens on the inside and it manifests itself in your life because it's so real to you. It hits you so deep that this is what I've been saved from. I encourage you, often think of what you've been saved from. Not reveling in your past life. Don't get caught up telling each other stories of how bad you used to be. We do that as humans. We love to tell each other our testimonies that are not really our testimonies, that are really just a list of all the bad things we've done. And we kind of want to talk about it because we kind of miss it. Ooh. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying recognize, holy cow, I was doomed and damned, and now I'm not because of one spotless lamb that died in my place. You have unlimited joy in your salvation. You find unlimited joy, unlimited peace. You find strength. You find sustainability in that salvation. So come back to it all the time. Every day it should be in your mind. Wow, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. It's not the joy of your healing that is going to give you sustainable strength. It's not. It's the joy of your salvation that gives you that sustainable strength. In Ephesians 4:17 through 32, it says this. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Okay, hold on. Live no longer as Gentiles do, for they, okay, so we're giving some character to not of God, okay? They're hopeless and confused. So what is not your new nature? Hopelessness and confusion. So what is not the Spirit of God? Hopelessness and confusion is not the Spirit of God. The spirit of the Antichrist and the spirit that's going to be roaming around right now is of confusion and hopelessness, but that is not the spirit of the bride. That is not the spirit of this church. That is not your spirit, because God's spirit in you, that's the spirit that we see. And that spirit is full of hope. That spirit knows what's going on. That spirit is not confused. That spirit is not rattled or scared or full of fear because, well, nature's falling apart. The government's falling apart. The economy's falling apart. No, that spirit is full of hope. Dad's coming home. I hear the garage door. It's a hopeful thing. They know exactly what's going on. We know exactly what's going on. Come on, somebody. You know exactly what's going on. Dad's coming home. The bride is getting ready. The bridegroom's coming. The wedding is happening. I hear the wedding march coming. That's so we're not confused. Why? Because live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they're hopelessly confused, but not us. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against them. They have no sense of shame. I know we see that. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Ooh, and your former way of life. Throw off your old nature and your former way of life. Have no association with it. Sorry, I don't associate with that person anymore. That's not me. Yeah, but it was you. No, it's not me. It's not me. Like, you say whatever you want. I know your human mind can't comprehend, but like, it's not me. It's not me. You're not in denial. You're speaking faith. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And attitudes! And attitudes! I know y'all, some of y'all got a tude about you. I know I get one every once in a while. It happens whenever I'm hungry. Yeah, that one. Yeah, that one. But the Spirit of God renews our thoughts and our attitudes. So even when I'm hungry, through the Spirit of God, I can love my brother and sister in Christ. Come on. Put on your new nature like a wedding dress. Put it on. You got to put it on. You have to put it on. You have to put it on. Intentionally choose to put it on. It doesn't just fall out of the sky. You're not just instantly all better because you said a prayer. It's activated by action. So you put the dress on. You put that new nature on. Created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies, even the little ones. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. For we are all parts of the same body. So if you lie to a fellow believer, you're lying to yourself. If you backstab a fellow believer, you're backstabbing yourself. We have to emotionally understand and understand in every capacity that you possibly can that we're one body. So just like I said in the very beginning, how now I really am happy that to see my friends get married. Why? Because those friends I'm talking about are in the body of Christ. So when they win, I win. When you win, I win. So I want you to win, because if you win, I win. We have to get that mentality. It's one team, one team, one body, one bride. And it says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. I love it how every single time that the Lord tells us to do something, every time he commands us to do something, it's so clear that it's for our benefit. He doesn't tell you to do something just because he wants to show off his dominance. He doesn't need to show off. Look around. He already did that. He doesn't need to show off. And it shows us right here where it says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Your anger gives a foothold to the devil. The Lord doesn't want to see the devil get a foothold in your life. So he says, don't go to sleep while you're angry, because Satan will get a foothold in your life. And I don't want that for you, because wherever he goes, he kills, he steals, and he destroys. And I don't want that for you, because you're my bride and I love you. Instead, it says, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. The Holy Spirit of God is a person. And you can grieve him. He feels emotion. And so it's saying, don't grieve the Spirit of God with the way that you live. How do we know what grieves the Spirit of God? Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. And as you read the Word of God, the Spirit of God inside you, you'll be able to hear it louder and louder and louder. And then you'll be able to feel it. And you'll feel that when you do certain things, it hurts. It hurts you. You feel it. Why? Because the Spirit of God's in you. Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Come on, that's so good. Remember, he has identified you. He looked through the crowd and he said, oh, yes. Yes, that's mine. That one's mine. And I guarantee that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Those that have been forgiven much, it's easy to forgive. That's why I said, remember what you've been saved from. Keep your salvation that was given to you. Keep it in the forefront of your mind so that we can protect ourselves from hurting ourselves. From hurting other people in the bride. So I'm going to wrap it up. So bride, I urge you to live under the influence of knowing your bridegroom is about to arrive. Live with the same urgency to be righteous, obedient, submitted, and pure. Live like you hear the wedding march playing and you're about to walk down the aisle in only a few moments. Because in reality, not just in the spiritual, not in this, not in that. In reality, that's what's happening. We've had warning on top of warning to get prepared. Now is not the time to make alterations on the dress. Now is not the time to go out and buy the shoes. You said, wait, I don't even have shoes. Now is not the time. Quick, quick. He's coming. We've got to be ready. So kick it in high gear. Give him everything. Don't hold back. Don't hold back one aspect of your life. It's so serious. It's a matter of life and death. We've got to be ready. And so those, Trish and Kathy and Michelle, if you guys want to come up to the altar, we're going to start to close. If this is your first time hearing about all of this, or you're kind of confused at the first part about your identity as the bride, then come up and talk with Trisha or Kathy and pray with them. If that's something that you want, if you're saying, God, the Creator, is in love with me, and he sees me as his bride, and he wants to give me a new life and a new identity that's not this person that I hate that I am, then come up. Now, I know a lot of us, y'all are members. We've been at this church. We're family. And you're like, well, I knew this. This is good. Praise the Lord, but I knew it. We don't know the entirety of our heart. Only God does. So every day we ought to come to him on our knees and say, God, what more do you want from me? Take more. I want you to have everything, God. If there's anything in my heart that I'm holding back from you, you can have it now, God. You can have it now, God. If you want to just give him more of you, and you need to take that physical step to show yourself, I'm serious about it this time, then come up to the altar and give it to him. Because he wants every part of you. So I'm just going to pray. God, I thank you so much for your loving kindness. I thank you so much for the story of redemption, for the story of forgiveness, of perfect love. I thank you for this wedding that is soon to come, God. I thank you for the hope of salvation, the joy of salvation. I pray right now that if anyone is unsure of where they stand in your eyes, God, that their heart would turn towards you and that they would cry out to you, Lord, and their heart would kneel and submit to you, God, once and for all, that they would say, you are Lord, you can have it all. I pray that you, that for those of us that have known you for some time, God, that you would reveal to us our heart clearer, Lord. That we would see areas of our life where we're not giving you everything, where we're holding back. And that we would give those to you, God. I pray that you would take us deeper into your love, that we would understand it more, God. And I pray over everyone in this room that the joy of salvation, the joy in their identity as the bride, meets them today, God. That they would feel overcome with joy and peace, hope, and clarity and confidence, knowing who they are in you, and that in these end times they don't need to be scared. They know exactly what's going on. And that the wedding is just over. Blessed.
Oh, bless the Lord.